Good evening, everyone. My name is Todd Eichenauer. Thank you for that invitation, or introduction, I should say. I come from Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, it was a sad loss for the Cavaliers recently, but I know you were praying for us. Our family has been involved with missions since about July of 2009, when a missionary by the name of Dave Harvey came to Westlake, Ohio, a suburb on the west side of Cleveland, and shared his ministry, which is multifaceted, but for some reason, the Lord just spoke very clearly to my heart about a school located in this faraway land called the Philippines. And just to show you how God can move very rapidly, our family was there within the year. Now, to give you a little background, Miriam grew up in Westlake. She was brought home from the hospital to that community, and the church knew her since birth. She was involved by many different ministries. Emmaus Bible College is where she got her degree. I should say degrees, both in Chicago as well as Dubuque. And then she was very involved with ministries in the chapel with young people and adults, and then specifically the Billy Graham Crusade back in 1994 when she worked for them. What's interesting about all that is with her roots there of decades, and then I come along into her life later on, and I jumped right into it. I had gone from civil engineering into full-time ministry, and then went to there into education, into music education specifically. And so we were very much involved as a team then in ministry, with children's ministry, and Awana, if you're familiar with that ministry. I had been involved with a ministry called Young Life earlier in life. So many different things involved with camp. You talk about praying for camp. We have one on the western side of New York called Camp Lilolai. And I was an assistant director there. I'd had the privilege even that year of the summer of 2009 of being a director at a camp down in North Carolina called Mountaintop Youth Camp. So all those things were happening. All those things were happening, and yet in the midst of that, I'm about 47 years old, I think, about that time. The Lord said, time to go. And this is something I just want to make sure that I share with you, because it's not something that you can plan. It's not something that you can even, I don't know, personally, I think you can't even acknowledge it in a way that might not always seem clear. How does God speak to people? I mean, right now, we're going to be looking at something for the next half hour. You're going to hear from me. Will the Lord speak to you tonight? I tell you, we were so busy that particular summer of 2009, I never had the least thought of doing something completely different within the year. And yet, the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's powerful. It's the power of the resurrection, right? And to get a hold of one man who impacts one woman, impacts five kids and grandkids, the whole thing. You know, it's just one of those things. I just feel compelled to encourage you. I have a quick question, though, on a technology standpoint. So, Todd, can you help me? I keep having this Xfinity Wi-Fi pop up, and I don't want it. Is that something that I'm going to be dealing with for a long time, or is it just, do I say, leave me alone? Or I have no idea why that keeps showing up. I'm trying to close it out.
I don't know.
Turn the Wi-Fi off on the computer. It's searching. Don't you love technology? The blessing and the curse.
Did you
okay.
get it?
I'm going to try this, and if it pops up, I'll do that again. Thank you. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Easier said than done. This is not my computer. All right, we're just going to pray over this. All right, let me pray, and then we'll be at peace here. Thank you, Todd. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what you're doing already in this assembly. And I pray that you would help me to encourage them tonight. And thank you for what you've done in our life, in our family's lives. And I just pray that you'd help me to present it clearly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, of course, you always have to have a reason. I would not want to stand up here and just say, let me show you some pictures, all right? Why am I here? Well, this is very scriptural. And anytime you have a missionary that comes through here, remember this passage. In Acts chapter 14, you had this man named Paul. He'd been out serving the Lord at God's direction, right? And it was time to go back. It was time to go back to the church that sent him out. And that had to be the church in Antioch. So it says in Acts 14, verses 26 to 28, from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. Well, I'm not going to spend a long time with you, but do pray that this evening would be something that you can say, you know what, I'll remember that. And I pray that the Lord actually really ministered to you. I wanted to quickly introduce my family a little bit beyond what you've already heard from them. This is my wife, Miriam. She's grown up in the Assemblies, as I said, attended Emmaus. Her position, I would say, since 2009 has been basically to help me cope, to help me get through everything that the Lord has done. She's been an incredible helpmate, an encouragement, and she's homeschooled our children for 13 years, I think we totaled it up, that she homeschooled our three younger children. She, in the Philippines, has homeschooled Joshua and Katrina for the first 2 years we were there, and then even a third year with Katrina when we got back our second term. While in the Philippines, she's established a ministry at a local Filipino Christian school that's affiliated with our little Filipino Assembly. So you'll hear the name Hillcrest Christian Church, and that would be a church about this size, maybe 1.5 times the number here, but the average age would be very much younger than this group, okay? With a lot of babies in arms, a lot of young children running around, and a lot of noise outside the open windows, like motorcycles zooming by and trucks and jeeps and all kinds of things. So it's a very noisy place, and there's none of this air conditioning stuff. I'm freezing right now. Anyway, it's about, we left behind about 100 plus degrees where 3 showers a day was normal. And I would never put this on until I got out of the car and the air conditioning, and then I put it on and go in and sweat it out in the next hour and a half. So that's where we live in the Philippines. It's getting ready for rainy season there. But as I was saying, with Miriam, you know, here she is involved with the little Filipino school there called Lidcrest Christian Academy. She's been taking language study there and trying to learn that crazy language called Tagalog in order, you know, tapos na means are we done, is it over? Okay, so that's Miriam in just a nutshell. Heidi, who's back here sitting next to Joshua, shivering as well. She, as I said, stated, she graduated from Liberty University Online. She's a Faith Academy grad from 2014. And she's been working at Faith Academy for this past semester as a substitute teacher in the elementary and middle school classrooms. And she's also been taking on the library responsibilities. They are in need of a librarian there for 3 years now. Can you believe that? This huge school of 500-plus children has no librarian. But as you probably have heard, Faith Academy is a school of all missionary staff. And so thereby, to answer the call, could I be a missionary librarian? Yes, we've talked to Mrs. Gallagher already, haven't we? Okay, we're going to keep praying for her. Anyway, so Heidi helped out with the library this past semester. She hopes to get some wisdom from the Lord. If you could pray for her, we'd be very grateful. She's going to stay here, not going back to the Philippines with us, and she hopes to either pursue a job in retail or maybe pursuing teaching jobs, since that is her degree, or possibly pursue upper education in the area of elementary ed or library science. Joshua, by the way, Heidi's 18. I'm sorry, 20. Heidi's 20. Joshua's 18, and he just graduated about a week and a half ago from Faith Academy. He had been playing some volleyball and basketball there, and that was a very successful experience. I have to throw a little bragging rights. He received the Outstanding Male Student Athlete of the Year for his senior class, so pretty proud of that. if he continues that, maybe you will actually want to go to Philadelphia to Karen University and watch him play some basketball. That's yet to be determined. But he is going to be playing with that team. His goal is to major in business management at Karen this fall. Katrina went to help with a nursery. That's Katrina. She's going in elementary ed at Karen also. She's 16, but she just graduated as well. A little help from homeschooling, I think, a little accelerated program. Her desire is to go into elementary ed, as I said. And we're also something that we praise the Lord about. Karen University was the school of choice because they offered our family not one, but two full tuition scholarships with their International Christian School Leadership Scholarship. So we want to give a little kudos to Karen. And it's because we're MK kids. That's why. Because they're MK kids and they had some good credentials, I think, on those applications. We actually have a couple more kids that are not with us right now. In fact, they were never able to get to the Philippines in the whole time we've been there. Our oldest daughter, Kirsten is now 30 years old, and she is teaching up in a suburb of Boston called Lynn School District, and she's an art. Lynn School District is a suburb of that place where they have Red Sox fans. Did I say that right? Okay, all right. Well done. Okay, thank you. I heard that Mr. Dad likes the Yankees. Oh, okay. Well, we're gonna become Phillies fans, but we're Cleveland Indians fans right now. Anyway, so Kirsten has three children, so we're grandparents, and we look forward to seeing them hopefully in the next couple weeks. It's been 2 years since we've had grandparent hugs. And our last child is Daniel, and he is 28, and he is a mechanical engineer down in Texas. So one in Texas, one in Boston. We'll have two in Philadelphia, one in Cleveland, and we'll be back at the Philippines come January. So that's, if you think about us, pray for us. I appreciate it. Why is Faith Academy even around? I mean, if you think about this, you know, why would anyone set up a school in the middle of the Philippines? Well, it all started way back in 1957. And I was chatting with Esther just a little while ago, and her family had a lot to do with that. The school was founded by a handful of missionary families that said, we want to keep missionaries here. Instead of they get to the high school or upper levels, and they all want to go back to their home countries because they don't like the educational program. And so that, it was 60 years ago. Can you believe that? We just had our 60th year of school, and the Lord is still using Faith Academy to minister, and it's not just ministering to children, but we're ministering to families who just happen to be the majority, about 75-80% are missionaries. And these missionaries represent hundreds of ministries, hundreds of ministries all over Southeast Asia. So just the fact that the school exists gives these families an opportunity to feel at peace about their children's education, and then they can focus more on their ministries and what God has going for them. I want to share a neat scripture with you, though. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 17. And Timothy is, of course, Paul's child in the faith. And Paul reminds Timothy in this last letter that he wrote that we have record of, how he has a history. And that's one of the things that I'm excited about our children, what they've experienced with homeschooling, with Miriam, and also with having the Christian education they had at Faith Academy. And I think that Paul would echo the mission of Faith Academy, because here's what he wrote, starting at verse 10. But you, Timothy, followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I want to just stop there for a second. But you think about that. Paul's saying, you've seen in me, Timothy, as you've been with me on the different missionary journeys, as you've seen me teaching, that here's teaching, that's number one, but conduct, you know, his behavior, the purpose, what, why are we here? Why did God call us to be his children? All right, the same faith, showing patience, displaying that love, persevering through trials, persevering through persecutions. And we have a lot of detail in the of the persecutions that Paul suffered in the cities like Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, even to the point of being stoned where they left him for dead because they wanted to kill him. They assumed he was dead. They walked away. But he, as we know, the Lord brought him back to life, is the best way I could call it, and he got up and walked away himself. So with all that testimony in front of Timothy, Timothy was a very different person, I think, than when he first met Paul. And I hope that what our children have experienced in witnessing what God has done in our family's life since 2009, I hope that they're not just going to be your typical kid going to college or going to get a job soon. I hope that what they can say is, we've seen it in living color. We've been to places that are different than what everybody else experienced. That's going to be a challenge for them. However, with that new, that different worldview, that perspective on life, that trials are things that we should expect. Trials are things that, in fact, God uses to make you stronger. One of the things the Lord's really put upon my heart about trials is not to be afraid of them anymore, but instead to look at them as investments. Investments. When you have something like an illness, or something like a job loss, or something, you name it, you would say, well, this is a big trial for me or someone I love. The question I would challenge you with is, how can you invest that trial where you could say, I want to get everything I can out of that trial? Something I'm not choosing to have, but God is allowing that to happen in my life, and I want to be stronger when I come out of it. Peter talks about it for just a little while. We might be experiencing trials, but later on it'll bring forth fruit, yes? And I guess what I'm just encouraged personally, and I hope that I could pass this on to you, is when those trials come, not only do we look at, is your foundation the Lord built on the rock, or is it on worldly things built on the sand, which you're, when those trials come, you'll be washed away. It's not if they come, it's when they come. And I would challenge you, build on the rock. Secondly, I challenge you, how can you grow through them? How can you become a stronger believer? How can you encourage others then when they start to face trials because of what you've been through? Anyway, as this passage finishes up, he says in verse 14, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I did not get to go to a Christian school. I did not attend a Christian school as a child. I did not go to a Christian university. I went to a very secular state university. And so experiencing life at Faith Academy is a joy for me to be able to go to chapel, whether it be elementary school or middle school or high school, every week, to be able to start the day in every one of my classes as a teacher. I can choose how I want to start it. I start it with prayer, and I take prayer requests from every kid, whatever they want to share. And they see answered prayer. That's a privilege that I am so thrilled that I can do, and I'm on the other side of the world, and we're praying for things that are happening all around the world, and we're also praying for things that are happening right within our own community. Some things I'm sure you've heard a lot about Faith Academy, but I'll just give you some of the basic facts. As I said, founded in 1957 by people including the Brooks family. About 85% of the students are children full-time Christian workers, and they represent over 20 countries. Right now, Faith Academy just graduated a class, and that class had 54 students in it, I think, 54. And the whole school is about 525, starting at preschool up to grade 12. They represented, between the staff and the students, 26 countries this past year. My favorite country to tell about is Madagascar. We had a lady that showed up. She says, well, sometimes I tell people I'm from South Africa. Sometimes I say that I'm from Madagascar, but that actually is my home. And she is the swim instructor there. And Faith Academy was blessed with a beautiful swimming pool by a gift that the Lord provided for her, Faith Academy. And she is now the aquatics instructor. And in that swimming pool, they teach kids how to swim. They teach kids how to swim fast, like a swim team. They also have life-saving swimming instruction, even deep-sea scuba diving with water safety involved with that. So that just gives you a little example of having someone from Madagascar and, as I mentioned, many other countries. My job description at Faith Academy is a little unique. When I first went there in 2010, they needed a choir director. And so as a choir director for, at that point, 12 years in my career, I was working for a public school in Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio. I fit the bill. So I started a choir in fifth grade, and we had already choirs established in grades 6 through 12. And one of those choirs that I directed was an audition choir, and so we got to sing some of the higher level music. So for those first 2 years, that was pretty much my job. My second year, they did have a need for a Bible teacher. Can you believe that? A missionary community that needs a Bible teacher? So I added to that teaching seventh grade Bible, and that was a blessing too. Came back to the United States not knowing if we would be able to go back again. We had only been commended for 2 years, and I had a two-year leave of absence. But during that, about mid-time of that one-year period of time, we did get the word that we were going to be commended again, and we contacted Faith Academy, told them, yes, this furlough idea that you had, it's really true. We are officially now on furlough, and what's the job I'm going to go back to? Well, they said, we lost our band teacher. We've been praying for a band teacher. We don't have a band teacher. You've taught band for a little bit, haven't you? Well, yes, I did, but I love choir. Well, you can still do the high school choir, but you're going to start teaching middle school band. And so I learned the difference between having a job and serving the Lord. What's it say in Luke 17? We're supposed to be unworthy slaves. We don't tell God what to do. And I learned that I had about a 24-hour period of time. I'm like, I'm not going back. They're not giving me my old job back. I'm not going back. And about 24 hours later, the Lord said, no, I have something different for you to do. And you know what was really interesting is teaching band is very different from teaching choir. There's a lot of complication dealing with all those metal and wooden things called instruments, okay? But I gained an incredible appreciation for the person I was praying for. 2 years later, she showed up. So I had to direct bands for 2 years, and it wasn't so bad after all. You know what's a common thing at all that? Kids. The common thread for all that was kids and, I guess, music. Okay, there's just no words to it because it's hard to talk, sing while you're playing the trumpet, you know. So it had to be just playing, making beautiful music without the lyrics. So that was a little different for me, too. That was pretty exciting to do that. During that time, of course, working with middle school kids, I had other opportunities. I'll show you that in the slideshow, like outdoor education. Can you imagine taking 210 6th, 7th, and 8th graders to a place where they could die if they walked into a hole in the ground, or to a place where they could drown if they Shark River? Do you have a place really called Shark River? Let's go swimming at Shark River Park. No, that scares me. Think about that. Okay, anyway, it just kind of hit me. Anyway, so some dangerous places that we took middle school kids, you'll see some of those in the pictures. Another thing that we got to do with our high school choir is we got to take them out into the community. And so we did singing at Christmas time at the malls in the Philippines. Oh my goodness, what a great place to celebrate Christmas. It starts September 1st. Have you heard this before? They call it the burr months. Like right now, I'm shivering, and it's burr not because it's cold.
It's a month that ends with Burr. September, October, November, December. And they celebrate Christmas from September 1st all the way through Christmas Day. Now, it's great marketing. If you're in business, you might want to check it out. It's a neat idea. But they start playing Christmas music in the malls September 1st. Sometimes they cheat and even go into August. But that's a great place to celebrate Christmas. It's a great place to sing God's praises in public venues. And I get to share the gospel every Christmas through our music ministry. We also had opportunities to take kids on international trips. Faith Academy is an international school now, as I said, 26 countries. And with our music program, we have now gotten involved with six other schools that are international Christian schools from six other countries. So Guam, Taiwan, South Korea, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Thailand, and Philippines. And so we've been able to take kids to some of those locations to sing. One of the pictures you're going to see is in Victoria Harbor in Hong Kong. Beautiful backdrop for a concert, don't you think? So you'll see that in a moment. But the last 2 years, we've done something even above and beyond that. This is pure God stuff, all right? So I'm telling my choir, you know, I'd like to take you on a trip. Let's start praying about it. We prayed about it the entire year. The entire year. And about the last month and a half of school, finally someone said, I've got a place for you to go. And if you just got to come in about the next month. The administration said, ridiculous. No way. This is time for advanced placement tests. You cannot go anywhere in April and May. That's like off limits. That whole class that prayed the entire year never got to go. But I have two people from that class that have gone to college. And in fact, I got an email from one of the kids. They got to go sing in Europe this whole summer. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you, though, was we then finally got that answer, but we couldn't go until October the following school year. We went to Seoul, South Korea. We took about 32 students and about six or so chaperones. We sang 22 concerts in 9 days. The concerts were located in churches and schools, outside the Emperor's Temple, subway stations, and right in the mall area, the shopping areas near the college and universities. We presented the gospel in our music. We had a playlist of about 11 songs, a couple folk songs, one Korean tune, and the rest were gospel music. We're all sacred hymns. And so we were so blessed. The Korean churches and schools were very appreciative of us being there. To think that these were all missionary kids pretty much, they wanted to support Faith Academy. It put us on the map. And many people said, please come back. So a year later, we went back. And this time we sang not so many concerts, not 22, but only 17 in 9 days. But each concert was about an hour long. And that time we took 35 kids. We had a choir of 45 kids, couldn't go. But 35 plus the chaperones, we had an entourage of a little bit over 40 students and staff. And we added some nursing homes, some other public venues, and the Lord continues to use it. We've been asked to come back again, but right now we're taking a year off. We're not going to be there for the first half, so but please pray for us if you think about that. We're thinking about maybe going to China next time, or even, believe it or not, the United States. Many, many years ago, a man by the name of Dick Cadd got the urging from the Lord to take his much smaller choir to the United States. And it was sponsored after he put the idea out by many missions organizations. And they sponsored these students to fly to the United States and go on a national tour. And again, it brought attention to the lives of missionary kids and what they have to deal with living abroad, and to realize, wow, these kids are talented. Not only are they talented, but they're actually kind of normal. And it kind of gave a different viewpoint and really inspired a lot of people to consider missions because they met and heard from this choir. So I'm just asking you to please pray for wisdom as we plan our next tour. Some of the things that we like to do is we like to host kids in our home. We bring the whole choir. Yes, all 40 do fit in our house. And Miriam can feed them all. So we've done that. And we like to also bring over our Filipino church members, whether it be the women's fellowship or the youth group, coming over for a bunco party. We have a lot of fun times with them, and we actually don't do that enough. We think when we go back, we'll probably have to do a little bit more of that because we won't have any kids of our own to enjoy. So please pray for our future relationships with kids as we want to have more of a mentoring experience. I wanted to describe a little bit more about why Faith Academy has its purpose there. When I talk about the students, I said they represent families. The families of Faith Academy students, staff, don't just represent countries, but they represent hundreds of ministries. And so some of the things that maybe you'd say, well, what do these people do? Well, we have people that send their kids to Faith who might be pastors of local churches, at least church leaders for sure. They might run an orphanage or a baby home. They would be pastors or pastor trainee people. They might be Bible seminary teachers or staff. Even as the family, the Manthys, who I hope you've met them sometime here, you know, sports ministry outreach. Basketball in the Philippines is, I can't tell you how elevated it is. They still idolize Michael Jordan. He's older than me. Okay, and yet they still, he is like idolized in the Philippines. And when the Golden State Warriors actually had a little project where they made a T-shirt that had the Golden State logo here, and they put the Manila logo on that, they hooked about 15 million people right there. Okay, so it's just one of those things where when it comes down to basketball, you think, well, how can God use basketball? It's a huge, huge ministry in the Philippines. If you can play basketball or you're tall and play basketball, that's even better. You have a platform, boom, like that, and you can present the gospel. The longest standing staff person at Faith Academy has been there 59 years. His name is Tyne Hardiman. You know him. Uh-huh. You love him too. Tyne is still on staff. He's a sports chaplain. And he will present the gospel if you ask him at any, he wants to do it at any moment, in season and out of season. And so he was their first PE teacher. He was also their first basketball coach. But think about this. He turned down a contract with the LA Lakers back in 1958. He would have been playing with Wilt Chamberlain, if any of you basketball fans out there. That's who he would have been playing with, okay? He turned it down because God called him to the mission field, and he's still there. His son is the head of school at Faith Academy right now. His grandson is going to be a freshman, and he's going to be a pretty good basketball player. And that, he's the last one of a long line. So it's just interesting that, yes, even an athlete can go to the mission field and be used. Is that interesting? And when it comes down to people that work at Faith Academy, you know, we minister to people that have regions where they are not just in Manila. How about India, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, and Papua New Guinea? These are where the parents are located and that their kids are boarding at Faith Academy. So it's an interesting dynamic. I've told you a little bit about our church, but I want to give you the life of an MK. All right, my kids were at the age of 9, 11, and 13 when we pulled them out of their friend group, their family, their church, their school, everything. And we took them to this place, and then we said, we're going to go to church here. Not much bigger, not much different than this space. Wooden benches, concrete floor. It's got marble now, by the way, which they refine right there in Manila. So it's cheap. But anyway, as I described, hot, stinky, sticky, just fairly miserable. And you go to church, and you might sing a few hymns that we would have sung around here back in the 80s and 90s. Maranatha, big purple book, excellent. But when they start to preach, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Yes, teacher. You know, that's Charlie Brown's teacher, right? That's what Tagalog sounds like if you don't know the language. So what we do is we encourage them, say, have your Bible studies at home. We'll have devotional time as a family and learn what you can through homeschooling or through Faith Academy. But that is where the food is going to come from. It's not going to come from that. And you think, well, why would you take kids there? Why don't you take them to someplace else where they have an English-speaking service? Well, that was an assembly. We felt the assemblies called us, told us to go, and we were going to respect that. And we honored this assembly. We've been there now 6 of the past 7 years. And when we said goodbye to them, they threw a party to say goodbye to our kids. It was that special. It was a very tearful goodbye our second year there because they didn't think we were coming back. When we told them this time, we're planning on coming back. Don't worry, not very many tears, but it was still one of those things that they said, we're going to miss your kids. And many times we've been told that our number one ministry to those people is that we're there. We know you could go to many churches, but you choose ours. That means a lot to us. And even though we don't understand the words of their sermon, their anecdotes, we understand this. When they say, Juan chapter 4, we know John chapter 4, and we're flipping to the Bible right then. So it's like create your own sermon, if that helps a little bit. All right, if you got 5 verses that pop up during the sermon time, you can create your sermon. You know what they're talking about pretty well. And sometimes you do get a person that throws in a little English that helps us out. But 6 years of that, that's where our kids went through. Not by their choice, but they humbly, most of the time humbly, submitted to that. Lindcrest Christian Academy, as I explained to you, it has, is it preschool or just kindergarten? It has preschool through grade 6. Miriam teaches 3rd through 6th grade music and Bible club. And so if you are experienced with your vacation Bible school, imagine taking that to another country. It works. It works. All the things that we used to do with Awana, she can apply to that. She just doesn't have the game circle because there's not enough room. So mostly a straight up and down, a very narrow, you'll see that in here too. And just to finish up this time of speaking, I just want to ask you for just a few more prayer requests. If you're praying folks, and I know you are, you wouldn't be here tonight. But if you could pray for Mira's parents, that's who we're living with. We had a house that... after the first 2 years, we moved back into it. And after about January, when we found out we were heading back for long term, we made the decision not to sell it, but instead just to give everything away and then rent it out. And so we can't go back to it. There's no furniture there anymore. We've had tenants that have been very good, but they just moved out back in May. And we have new tenants that are supposed to move in about 2 weeks. So we are living with her parents. 2 people, age 79 and 77. Can you imagine an invasion of 5 people moving into that? So if you could pray for the readers, they're sweet people, and they have to deal with us now. So we'd appreciate prayers for them. Also, please pray for our children as we are going to say goodbye to them again in January. You know, it's so fun to come home. It's so fun to come home. It's all these reunions, all these hugs and kisses and just a few tears. But you know what? It just flies by. It flies by. And next thing you know, we're going to be at Christmas. And it's like bittersweet because after Christmas is New Year's Day. And day after New Year's Day, we're leaving. And so that's going to be a little tough. And we're going to go back to Skype. And we're going to go back to emails and long-distance telephone calls. What am I complaining about, right? We have that, all right? Go back 50 years. They didn't have any of that, all right? So at least in my knowledge. So please just pray for our family. If you think about us, we're day 9 in the prayer book now, so we'd appreciate that. I'm going to close my time here by showing you some slides. I'm going to play some music as a background. This is not to promote anything that I have done. This is kids' talent. These are kids from Korea, from Papua New Guinea, from the United States, from Germany, the Philippines. All right, so they joined together. There's 38 that were singing in this concert back in April. And so I'm going to play this music in the background, show you some slides. I'll speak a little bit over the mic. And at the end, if you have any questions, we're going to hang around until they take us home. So be glad to chat with you further. And hope you enjoy this. We'll start with a song called Sing to the Lord, a new song written by a Filipino man. And we'll take a look at the Philippines here.